Invite you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Kings chapter number 21. 1 Kings chapter number 21. Last time we saw Ahab acting like a spoiled brat when he didn't get his way. Naboth, his neighbor, had a vineyard that Ahab wanted, but Naboth would not sell it to him for any price. But there was a reason for that. The Lord prohibited him from selling it. It's supposed to stay in the family. And we said that Ahab's behavior in our text points to a major flaw in his character. And anyone that has an attitude that pouts and manipulates and tries to get their way any way they can get it, they have a major flaw that needs to be repented of and forsaken. Now, Ahab is what I called... He had what I had called the spoiled brat syndrome. And that needs to be seen for what it is. It's a sin. And the Lord can give victory over sin, including that sin, to those that know Him and want the victory. So Ahab's covetousness, we saw, in other words, his lack of contentment of what he had, led to what we see happening here in 1 Kings 21. Now, Ahab was not content, even with all that he had as being king of Israel. We see his response to Naboth's refusal to deal with him. It's the verse says that he was heavy and displeased, verse number 4. He was heavy and displeased. That means that he was sad and mad. So he lay down on his bed and he refused to eat. He's basically pouting like a child is what he's doing. Naboth, on the other hand, had learned to be content with what he had and was not willing to compromise God's word to get more. I mean, he could have named his price and got it from Ahab. Could have got even a better piece of land out of the deal, but he believed God. And he refused to sell. And tonight we're going to see how this spoiled brat syndrome of Ahab's, this covetousness and lack of contentment, is going to lead to conspiracy, forgery, lying, and murder. And may the Lord help us to understand how covetousness and discontentment are great sins and what they can lead to if they're not put out of one's life. So let's move further into this story tonight. Let's begin reading verse number 4, and we'll read down to verse number 7. Verse number 4, and Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad, that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth of Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now, we see Jezebel's conversation here with Ahab. It's easy to see who's calling the shots in this relationship, isn't it? Certainly it's Ahab. We have seen previously how Jezebel was not good for Ahab or the nation of Israel. Ahab is more wicked than the previous kings before him, but it's not without the coaxing of Jezebel that he got that way. In fact, if you'll skip down to verse number 25, you see it says, But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. So she was good about stirring up the evil parts in his life. Now, bad enough that he was already evil, But she just made it worse. Jezebel's wickedness only served to enhance and multiply Ahab's own wickedness, and how sad that she was in such a powerful and influential position in Israel. I mean, she is a heathen. She's not an Israelite. Proverbs 18, verse number 3 says, "When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt." That means disrespect. "And with ignominy, I can't even say that word. with disgrace comes reproach." Okay, that's what it means, disgrace. I-G-N-O-M-I-N-Y. You know, sometimes when you look at a word, you say, I know that word. Then you go to try to pronounce it, and you can't pronounce it. Anyway, I do that a lot. But Jezebel had a contempt and hatred of the Lord God. She had a hatred for the prophets of God, we've seen already. And she had a love for everything that went against the Lord God, especially Baal worship. Well, that's the way she was raised. We'll see that here in just a minute. But Proverbs 29, verse 2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Well, she was definitely wicked. And with this wicked duo ruling Israel, there is little wonder that the nation has strayed so far away from the Lord. Now, this relationship between these two should be a caution to those who are looking to marry. You need to be very careful how you choose a mate. A mate can have, and usually does have, a great effect on one's life. That can be to the positive. I thank God for the positive influence my wife has been in my life. You know, I know that there are some pastors and preachers who have not been as fortunate. There's some not even in ministry any longer because of what of the behavior of their wives. And but it can be positive, but it can also be negative. Anyway, Jezebel went to check on her husband. I guess word got around the palace of Ahab's sad state of affairs. It probably was a normal thing for him to pout. In verse 5, she questioned him about the source of his depression and why he wasn't eating. And when Ahab explained, I mean, you could just hear him whining, the story, there in verse number 6. When he explained his whiny, sad tale of not getting his way with Naboth, that's when Jezebel actually lit into him. I mean, that's what she's doing there in verse number 6. Verse number 7. "So, and Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel?" She's mocking him for being king and allowing one of his subjects to get the best of him. And then she tells him to get out of bed, eat something, and get happy, and that she would get him the vineyard of Naboth. She was going to show Ahab that she was a bigger man than he was. And she didn't say how she was going to do it, but you know, Ahab wouldn't have known. Ahab knew how underhanded she was. And Ahab, you know, he can't plead ignorance on this. He knew that she was going to be up to no good. And so, next thing we see is found in verses 8 through 10. And this is not going to end well for Naboth. Look at verse number 8. "So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die." So, you know, she is conspiring here against Naboth. Jezebel's name, before she ruined it, meant chaste, free from carnal connection. I mean, that's what it meant. And whenever we think Jezebel today, we think wickedness, don't we? I mean, she ruined her name. She was one of the most licentious women ever known, being all about Baal and the worship of Baal, which was known for its association with immorality. No name could have been more inappropriate for her. She was the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Zidonians, who was both king and priest of Baal worshipers. And so she wasn't even an Israelite. But Ahab married her anyway. And Ahab sinned against the Lord in taking her as wife when her dad's name meant a man of Baal. That's what Ethbaal means, a man of Baal. So accordingly, Jezebel had nothing but contempt for Naboth and the Lord and the Lord's ways. In fact, if Jezebel had detected at all that Naboth's adherence to the word of God was the reason for his not selling his vineyard to Ahab, it would only multiply her contempt for both Naboth and the Lord. Nevertheless, we see that poor Naboth was set up by Jezebel here. He was framed for a fall. We see that forgery and perjury and conspiracy and murder was the plan of the day. The woman had no scruples. Wicked Jezebel set this up to make it look like Ahab was the one calling for this to happen. Ahab's the one that's supposed to be in power. So she took his signet, his ring, and signed these things. What a piece of work this woman was. God's word says in Proverbs 3:29, "Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee." Well, that didn't mean anything to her because she didn't believe in God no way. She believed in Baal. She didn't believe in the Lord God Jehovah, I should say. Now, they were neighbors with Naboth, right next to the palace. And here she's working evil against her neighbor. You remember Jesus said later, to love your neighbor as yourself was the second greatest commandment, just behind the first commandment, which is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And loving your neighbor as yourself is the second. Of course, that's referring to the Old Testament law given to Moses and Israel. Again, it's the Word of God. And she would have had no desire to keep the Word of God anyway, even if she knew that's what it said. These commandments meant nothing to the heathen Jezebel. She could not have cared any less than she did about what Jehovah and his followers would have to say about what she was doing. Now, we pick up in verse number 11, and we see Jezebel's plan against Naboth actually carried out here. Verse number 11, "And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent them, they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, that he died." Well, we see here Naboth was falsely accused by these two men who were described as sons of Belial in one verse and children of Belial. And that phrase means that they were worthless, wicked men. And no doubt they were paid handsomely to lie against Naboth. So Naboth was accused of blasphemy, which was a stoning offense. And we found out later that Naboth's sons were also stoned at the same time. Why would they have done that? Well, they would have been the ones to inherit the land. Okay? They had a right to the land. They were the rightful heirs. So they had to die too. In fact, 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 26 says, "Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, saith the Lord, and I will requite thee in this plat," or this portion, saith the Lord. "Now therefore take and cast him into the plat of ground according to the word of the Lord." And that's That's in the future when we get in 2 Kings chapter number 9. But it was looking back to this time that we're going to be looking at next week when the prophet Elijah comes. And prophet Elijah's fixing to come and give Ahab a chewing out. All right. Oh, what a tangled web that we see here. One might ask the question, well, where is God in all of this? Why didn't the Lord intervene on Naboth's behalf, who suffered here for doing the right thing? I mean, he did the right thing, yet he suffered for it. And we need to realize, again, that nothing happens unless God permits it to happen. In God's wisdom, Naboth was allowed to die, just like the Christians in Rome were in the days of the Caesars. And you know, hardship can come our ways. We see some in our country right now. We see some preachers that have been locked up. We see some that have been threatened. The one I told you about last Wednesday night, or was it Sunday? I forget. Well, it said last Wednesday or last Sunday, there was a fellow that we were praying for up in Maryland, and he got up in the pulpit Sunday morning, and he ripped that order right there in front of the congregation and said they were going to stay open. Now, I don't know what happened after that, whether he's been locked up or whether they're going to give him even a harder case to read. But what I'm saying is these are difficult times right now, and there's a lot of God's people suffering. They just are, and probably going to be a lot more suffering. Some probably going to do some jail time, and we don't know what's going to happen. And it's just, we're living in different times. And what I'm saying is that nothing happens unless God permits it. And whenever God's children suffer for righteousness' sake, God will reward them. God has preserved the truth of Naboth's character for over 3,000 years here in the pages of Scripture. We know Naboth. We know his name. We know he's righteous. And we know he was done in the wrong way. And Naboth really is a type or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ here. When you think about Naboth and the Lord, each was tempted to disobey God and part with an inheritance. Jesus, in Matthew 4:9, the devil took him up to a high place and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Well, you know, he was going to inherit all those things anyway. Yeah, and we're heirs and joint heirs with him and all that. Amen. But, you know, if he wanted to do it right then, you know, he was going to have to bow down to the devil. Both refused the voice of the tempter. Third thing, both were falsely accused by false witnesses put forth by those who sought their deaths. Remember the false witnesses brought up Jesus' trial? Both were charged with blasphemy of God and the king. Matthew 26 and verse 65 said, then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. And Luke 23, verse 1 and 2, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. So, and then both were put to death by violent hands. Acts 2, verse 23 says of Jesus, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So in these five ways, we see Naboth as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Ahab's covetousness and discontentment robbed Naboth and his family of what was rightfully theirs. And we're going to see that Ahab and Jezebel were on the Lord's list of retribution, which is never a good place to be. You don't want to be on the Lord's bad side. And listen, when we allow ourselves to be discontented and covetous, it can take us where we never intended or expected it to take us. Now, lastly, we see Ahab take possession of Naboth's vineyard. In verses 14 through 16. We see Ahab take possession of Naboth's vineyard. Verse 14. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, "Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead." And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. Here we see that Jezebel heard that her evil deed had been carried out, and so she told Ahab, go get your vineyard. I told you I was going to get it for you. Go get it. Talk about your cold-blooded psychopaths. She was one psychopath. And now get this. Since Naboth was accused of being a traitor and killed, his sons were also killed to prevent any appeals to any property rights, and so the land became the property of the throne. There wasn't any family to assume the ownership. And so it became Ahab's. Ahab gained the land, but he did it by the treachery of Jezebel. Now, this was an unjust gain that the Bible warns us about. Money or gain that is acquired by corruption, cheating, deception, or treachery has a stigma attached to it and contains a burden and not a blessing. Proverbs 21, verse 6 says, "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death." In other words, it's a vanity. It's a fleeting fantasy. Dreams will not be satisfied. The replay of how they got their gain will constantly be on their mind. In other words, it's like Proverbs 22, verse 16 says, "He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches shall surely come to want." This unjust gain leads to loss, emptiness, and to want. And when all is said and done, it will not satisfy. There's a passage of Scripture in Jeremiah 17:11 that says, "As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool." I want you to just imagine with me, every time Ahab walked out the door of the palace, goes over to the vineyard, you think that possibly in his mind he would ever think about Naboth and what Jezebel had done? Yes, it's hard to get it off your mind. Maybe not. But Ahab would have had to be as heartless and as much a psychopath as Jezebel for it not to bother him at all. It didn't bother her, but I can't imagine it didn't bother him at least some. Personally, I really see Ahab was not as wicked as Jezebel. He was wicked, no doubt, but not as wicked as Jezebel. One who is on the receiving end of an unjust gain will not get to fully enjoy that unjust gain, and he's going to be a fool in the end. And this was the case with Ahab. Ahab, he got his vineyard all right, but he was not really able to enjoy it, as we will see, Lord willing, next week. When we come back, we're going to see the Lord send the prophet Elijah to pay Ahab another visit. Can you imagine? Thought he'd run Elijah off. But Jezebel's the one that ran Elijah off. And Elijah is not the one that Ahab wanted to see. So that's next week, Lord willing. Amen. God bless you. That's the Bible study for this evening. That's something. Pull out the prayer list, we'll pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed.